the people I've met, the stories that you've shared, the remarkable things you've done to make change happen.
Their isolation has only deepened as they have sought to engage in increasingly provocative acts.
The report's release comes exactly 1 year after the Charlie Hebdo and kosher supermarket attacks in Paris, and months after November's terrorist attacks that left 130 people dead.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It's 5:10 on WGN. It's time for another edition of The Opening Bell for January 7th, 2016. And it's another rough night overseas. World markets are lower today. Chinese stocks nosedive, triggering the second day-long trading halt of the week. The trading there actually just stopped for the rest of the day as the index there lost 7.3% of its value before the circuit breakers kicked in and they shut things down. Japan's benchmark Nikkei 225 fell 2.3%. South Korea's index lost about a percent. So across the board, there were losses overnight. It's hard to say why. China's economy is part of the reason, but there was also concern and jitters yesterday after what appeared to be a North Korea nuclear device test. There's still some question about whether that actually happened. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrials average dropped 252 points, or about 1.5%, to 16,907. The Standard & Poor's 500 lost about 26 points, about 1.3%, to 1990. That's its fourth loss in 5 days. The NASDAQ Composite gave up 56 points, or 1.1%, to 4.836. One of my first emails in the box this morning from an investor saying, this is not turning out to be a first good week of the year for me. He telling me he's already lost a lot of money this week. I'm guessing that's the case all across the world as these markets just have a lot of volatility. We'll try to figure out what's going on throughout the morning here on The Opening Bell. Some other big stories. The Labor Department will report today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also, Freddie Mac will report on this week's average U.S. mortgage rate, so that could also affect the markets today. There was a big story yesterday, still reverberating today as we get more details. Macy's has reported a worse-than-expected holiday quarter and outlined plans to cut $400 million in annual cost by closing stores and cutting thousands of jobs. Apparently, it was not a bright Christmas for Macy's, and the retail analysts say that is probably not the case, that is probably the case for many of the other big retailers as well. In an effort to become more agile, Macy's will close 36 stores in locations in Los Angeles and one here in Illinois in Peoria in early spring. Macy's had announced it was going to close one of those stores back in September. Bert Flickinger is a retail analyst, and he says this doesn't bode well.
It's a smart move for the retailer, but it's also an indication of an accelerating retail ice age. Macy's is one of the best to cut back thousands of workers. Indicates that it's the best of times for Amazon and online retailers, and it's the worst of times for shopping mall and shopping center-based retailers. With their mobile devices, they can compare prices across the online and land-based universe, and as they want the lowest price, increasingly they're going to Amazon and the online retailers and bypassing the shopping mall-based retailers.
In an effort to become more agile, Macy's again closing 36 stores in locations including Los Angeles and Peoria, Illinois. Macy's announcing also the loss of thousands of jobs. Many of those, they say, will be reassigned or retired. So it's not going to be as bad as it looks just on the surface, but it does indicate that there may be more coming for the retail sector. And then there was a study report released yesterday, too, about how much money we're saving again. It started to, as after the economic slowdown and turndown, that a lot of us were paying off our credit cards and saving money for emergencies. Well, guess what? Approximately 63% of Americans have no emergency savings for things like even a $1,000 emergency room visit, even a $500 car repair bill. This is according to a survey released by the finance website Bankrate.com. It's up just slightly from last year, but faced with an emergency, they say the ability to raise money by people is becoming harder and harder because they can't borrow from family or friends who are also money shy. Using credit cards is also not a case because some people have maxed out those credit cards as well. But 63% of Americans, a high number, who have no emergency savings. And so the stock market is probably the last thing they're thinking about today. This is the opening bell on WGNs. We're off and running. Again, the markets overseas lower. The snapshot of the markets this morning will tell you in Asia, the Hang Seng was down 648, the Nikkei off 424, the Shanghai off 237 before they shut it down, the Asia Dow off 55. Dow futures are looking pretty bleak. The Dow futures off 396 points, the S&P futures off 48 points, indicating what will likely be a lower open on Wall Street later this morning.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, this first week of trade of the new year is proving challenging. It was another nosedive for stocks around the world. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 252 points. The Standard & Poor's 500 Index dropped 26 points in its fourth loss in 5 days, and the Nasdaq Composite gave up 56. For the second time this week, trade in Chinese stocks was halted after the benchmark Shanghai Composite Index fell more than 7%. That triggered new circuit breakers that suspended buying and selling for the rest of the day. As goes Macy's, so goes the retail industry. The nation's largest department store chain, which also operates Bloomingdale's, says it's cutting up to 4,800 jobs and trimming its profit outlook after a miserable holiday season. Analysts see trouble ahead for other brick-and-mortar retailers. It's a rosier outlook for Netflix. The internet video service launched yesterday in 130 countries in a bid to attract millions of new subscribers. Still off limits, however, the billions of potential users in China. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
This is the opening bell on WGN 520, and we are going to transition from all of the turmoil around the world and the losses on the stock market to hopefully a little positive news, a little hopeful news going forward. Scott Catoon is with us. He's the host of WGN Plus Tomorrow's Business Today and the founder of Turning Point. And we're going to be talking about 1871. And if you're not familiar with 1871, it is a business incubator. It's a little bit more than that because it's one of those incubators that really has innovation as sort of its mission. And Scott, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You know, during the break, we were talking about all the turmoil around the world. And you're like, well, I'm going to come on now and say, you know, somebody just got a bunch of money to do something. And as investors are losing money. But it really isn't that bad because I think what you guys are doing is you're sort of seeding the marketplace and the job force, and you're creating that innovation that hopefully will create jobs one day.
That's the hope. I mean, that's the hope. The reality is, I don't want to say a bubble. That's a scary word, but we are living in sort of a beta world, if you will. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the companies and things, the investors are the people who are what I would call futurists. They're the kind of people who this country, the nation, as well as this entire world, really depend on to spend money on innovation and help build new jobs and entirely new industries, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell our listeners who may not be familiar with 1871, and believe it or not, there are a lot of people, even in the business community, that don't know about this. What is 1871?
It is a business accelerator that's focused on startups. It's located in Chicago. It's actually, there's a lot more to it than just a normal incubator. It's actually the largest in the nation. Bill Clinton was there and said recently, actually, and said it was the finest one he had seen. They now are the first incubator in the entire country to offer members health benefits through Wolf Point Advisors. They have actual separate accelerators within 1871 that are specialized, whether it's healthcare or it's this or it's that, different technology. So it's really an ecosystem, less than just an accelerator.
And you're throwing around these words, incubator and ecosystem,
buzzwords.
Those are good buzzwords, though. What are you working on there? Are you working on the next big thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it's an interesting question. If you go to the West Coast, for example, you're looking at a lot of business to consumer products, apps, things that the masses download. You go to East Coast, you're looking at fintech, things that are financial market. Here in Chicago, we're very business to business centric. So you're looking at companies that obviously a lot of healthcare. You're looking at companies like Rippleshot that are in the credit card securities type things. You're looking at companies like Tribe.do, which is a Techstars graduate. That's a task management system that would be used by businesses. It could be used by consumer, of course, as well, but predominantly business to business.
And 1871 sort of has a dual meaning, right? I mean, it's the Great Fire.
Yeah.
Out of the fire came Chicago.
That's the deal, and you'd have to have Howard Tolman on to tell you more about the history of 1871 and his vision. What I can tell you about Howard, though, is he's a master marketer, and you know there's been many accelerators and incubators, which are different things, but that have gone up. But the reality is, what he has done with this is marketed in a way that draws the best talent in Chicago. It's the one you think of when you're there. In fact, people from the Midwest, you look at. I'm trying to think of the one in Madison right now. There's one in Madison that's very big, but the people still come to 1871 to figure out how it's done.
The Consumer Electronics Show is underway this week.
CES.
We're seeing all these new gadgets and stuff. And I imagine that in the space, as I took the virtual tour online at 1871.com of the workspace there, I imagine that that's kind of what people are doing there, right? They're trying to do the next big thing. Give us a sense of how hard that is.
Well, it's really hard. I mean, the reality is, and this is sort of my mission with regard to the show that I have on, as you mentioned, I'm WGN Plus, as well as professionally. The mission is really to bring businesses, large businesses, and money in some cases into the ecosystem so that these guys have the tools and the resources to try to build the next thing. This didn't come out of 1870 exactly, but like the Tribune, like I mentioned off air, just invested $25 million in Dose.com, which is an Emerson Sparks company. And that is something that, like it or not, is revolutionizing the media industry and the way that we follow and chase news. That's an important thing that without resources, without the vision, and sort of an innovation space for you to look at and be like, listen, I got to get out of this journalism world for a minute and focus on like what is possible? What is viable? What is possible?
And Chicago, for us, doesn't seem like an unlikely place for this because we know there are a lot of smart people, a lot of really creative people here. How does the rest of the country view this?
Well, I mean, it's really divided. Primarily, it had been West Coast, Silicon Valley, a little bit of New York. It still is to this day, actually, but a bit of a challenge to draw definitely Stanford talent, but even Harvard and so forth, to draw that talent into Chicago to work on this stuff. Fortunately, we have University of Chicago and we have Northwestern, which have two really amazing innovation programs that drive a lot of people here. The reality is, though, because of Chicago's private equity nature, the money hasn't always been there. Just the last 2 months, we did about $100 million in capital raise each month, which is pretty awesome, leading to 2016. But prior to that, I think Chicago was kind of frowned upon, like, well, it's private equity. It's hard to get money. It's not worth the venture. That's changing, and a lot of it has to do with 1871.
There is a lot of concern about the business climate in Illinois, and one of the stories that we're going to do later is just how many people and businesses are fleeing Illinois because of this perceived or real business climate that they see. How does that hurt innovation? Like what's going on at 1871?
Yeah, there's two ways you can go here. So the first way is, yes, I agree, and a lot of my larger clients, enterprise clients, would tell you that, we're getting out of here, it's whatever. But it doesn't take that much money to farm an idea, right? So an investment, you don't have to invest in a ton of people and a bunch of resources and assets and brick and mortar. This is ideas. So $1 million for a team of people to try to come up with the next big thing can go, $1 million can go a long way. A lot longer than, say, a brick-and-mortar location out in Bloomington, Illinois, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's sort of a hot topic, but the reality is, as much trouble as Rahm Emanuel is in right now, the reality is that Rahm Emanuel has had a lot to do with this. He has invested lots and lots of time and energy into 1871 and into the grants programs, MacArthur Foundation, all the things that enable guys like me to run around and come up with cool ideas.
And it can't hurt that President Obama is from Chicago either, right?
It doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt at all.
What would you say is the biggest obstacle besides of, what you've already mentioned in terms of, going out and digging up the money and sort of beating down that atmosphere? There's the talent's there, right? I mean, we have.
The talent is there. Yes. I mean, there's plenty of talented people, of course. It's hard to get them all together. And then once you get them together, who am I to tell a person, like, listen, believe in my dream. Don't take that $200,000 job from Accenture. You know, I know you have $200,000 in debt from University of Chicago or Northwestern. Don't take Accenture. Come with me and eat ramen noodles and let's work on the next big thing. Do you believe?
Yeah.
You know, it's not
right.
It's not the easiest sell. So you have to be not only very, very talented, very, very smart, very, very hardworking, but a little crazy.
Yeah. And I think we all in our everyday lives need a little bit more dreaming, right? We need to think bigger. Is that a fair New Year's resolution?
I wish everyone would just think about what they could do if they had, you know, the time or the money. And then we'll find you the time and money, but what could you do?
We're talking with Scott Katoom of the WGN Plus Tomorrow Business Today at about 1871 Chicago. Scott, can you stick around for our next segment? We'll ask you some more questions. This is the opening bell on WGN 720 on the overseas markets. The Asian markets all lower. The Nikkei off 424, the Hang Seng off 648. The opening bell continues on WGN.
Any kind of nuclear test, like the one that North Korea conducted last night, is provocative and a flagrant violation of United Nations Security Council resolutions. Not just one, but any number of them.
Oh, look, I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze Donald Trump. You know, my view, if others...
You think he sees you as a threat?
You'd have to ask him that.
3 days later, she was found dead in her cell. Medical examiner ruled it a suicide, and the jail personnel were cleared of wrongdoing. The same grand jury is now considering whether charges should be filed against State Trooper Brian Encina, who made the initial traffic stop.
It's 5:37. This is the opening bell on WGN. I'm Steve Krasanich. Thanks for being with us this morning. Good morning. A couple of major stories overseas as we follow a continuing tanking of some of the Asian markets down significantly. Also this morning, closer to home, the CEO of United Airlines, who'd been on medical leave since suffering a heart attack in October, underwent a heart transplant yesterday. The airline says he is recovering. Oscar Munoz is expected to return to work later this spring. The airline says the transplant was considered the preferred treatment and was not the result of a setback in his recovery. But again, a very serious operation. But this morning, doctors say Oscar Munoz, the CEO of Chicago-based United Airlines, is doing well. We are talking with Scott Katoom. Scott, I'm going to keep you to sort of segue into our next segment because we're going to go to the Consumer Electronics Show. And there are some people from 1871, which is the incubator in Chicago that's sort of helping fuel innovation and find the next big thing and the next Steve Jobs, the next guy. You guys got some people at CES.
Rick Gruber, he's a lawyer and he's the head of the founder of Brandless.io. He's actually there, and you follow him on Facebook at Rick Gruber, rickgruber.com. He's actually live tweeting and doing a lot of stuff like that. So most of us at 1871, our vision of CES right now is through Rick's eyes. Lucky guy.
Yeah, and you and I would love to be there, maybe helping him carry all his goodie bags and free stuff, maybe.
Absolutely, anytime. Rick can take me there anytime.
You're positive about 1871 at innovation going forward this year in 2016.
Oh, it's going to be a big year. Probably the biggest yet. They actually just grew a 13th floor, so now they're two floors.
And you can all learn more about 1871. Again, their website, 1871.com. You can follow along on Twitter at 1871 Chicago. Scott Katoom, thanks for being with us and coming in this morning and waking up and being with us on the opening bell.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll hopefully talk to you again as our show progresses in the new year. And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
And that sort of segues us nicely into the Consumer Electronics Show. It is running through tomorrow, Friday, and it is produced already a lot of buzz about a lot of different things. So we thought we would take you there this morning. And ABC News correspondent Alex Stone, who's amid all of it, joins us. Alex, if you could give us an idea of what you're seeing out there and what the next big thing might be.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of cool stuff here. This year, it's a lot less about the big TVs. Most years, CES is about the giant crystal clear TVs, but the companies like Panasonic, Samsung, LG, they have shown off many of their TVs in the last couple of years, revealing the 4K ultra high def. They've made some tweaks to them this year, but now they're a lot more focused on the content for their TVs and less about brand new technology. So the focus here is a lot more on VR, virtual reality, on the goggles that are coming out, the headsets. You've got Oculus Rift and Microsoft, a number of different ones that have been in the pipeline for a while. So now content for those VR headsets and what you can do with them on drones, on wearable devices, on home automation and on automobile stuff. This is a lot like an auto show now. All of the big car companies are here showing electric cars, plans for autonomous cars, technology for in the car. And then you walk into to some of these areas, and there are just the gadgets that you didn't know you needed, but now you need them, like a Keurig-like device that I found last night that instead of coffee, it dispenses alcohol. It dispenses mixed drinks. It'll make 300 cocktails, different cocktails, with the press of a button. You tell it what you want, that's what comes out.
Oh, that's going to be very dangerous.
I know, and awesome, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, you think how easy it is to make coffee at home on a Keurig. Now, granted, this is not Keurig, but a similar idea. It was actually a Kickstarter campaign that somebody came up with and has taken off. We also found a dog bowl that is a smart dog bowl. It interacts with your phone. It will tell you if your dog is eating too much, if you're putting too much in the bowl, who's been feeding your dog. It will actually reorder food for you when you get low. They claim that many pet owners are overfeeding their pets and they don't know it. This will tell you what they actually need. And then if you have kids, and we have a 3-year-old and 8-month-old, and the thing I hate the most is when my wife tells me I need to take out the car seats for some reason, and then I have to put them back in. It's just with all the straps and the tightening and everything else, there is a self-installing car seat that we got to play around with last night. It'll be on the market in about 6 months, a little under $500 from a company called 4Mom, a high-tech baby gear company. All you do is place it in the car, attach it, just by clicking it on, and you don't have to do anything else. You press a button, it will self-tighten, self-level, and then do a check to make sure it's properly in the car.
You mentioned earlier the car, when it was displayed, the Faraday car this week. Social media blew up with this thing that looks like the Batmobile. Is that one of the most popular, you think, so far?
You know, there's a lot of talk here, and they claim that it will rival Tesla and take on Tesla. But some of the things that get the most talk here at CES are the things that, folks who are really into the technology and the cool aspects of it, and almost more of the Batman type, look at how cool this car is. But is it realistically going to look like that when it's going down the street, and can the average person afford it? They're claiming it will be more affordable than Tesla and whatnot. But there are a lot of car companies here showing off a lot of different products. That's the newest. It's getting a spotlight. But in a couple of years, will it be something the average consumer can afford and actually get their hands on? We just don't know yet.
Yeah, one of the other things that I saw, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet, is the smart wheel. Apparently, it's a steering wheel that sort of helps with distracted driving. Is this sort of the way we're going, where it's, these companies are going to take humans out of all of these technical aspects, and it's just going to be the devices that are going to be leading us around?
Well, it seems like the option will definitely be there, that you could just sit in your car and it could do a lot of the work for you, and that's really where the self-driving cars come in. GM and Lyft, the competitor to Uber, they have teamed up, and they're working on trying to come up with a self-driving taxi that would shuttle people around, and they're showing off their plans here. Apple is working with a couple of companies as well. There's really this race to the self-driving car, but they've been promising them for years, and they really still haven't materialized, other than in tests that Google's doing in California. And some of the other car companies have done little gimmicks by driving last year to Vegas in one, but they're really not out on the street yet. So it seems like a lot of the auto companies are showing off electric cars here and kind of saying, look at this, don't pay attention to the self-driving car we've got over there that isn't ready for prime time yet, but we've got this electric car, and pay attention to this, something that is actually ready and will be on the streets. Chevy out with the Bolt, showing an actual production model of the Bolt, not the Volt, but the Bolt with a B as in boy, their newest electric car, and folks paying attention to that.
You mentioned earlier the VR, the virtual reality. All the tech experts say the 2016 is going to be the year of VR. How realistic is it that we'll see this on the consumer level become something that we can all have and afford?
Well, it's coming down to the consumer level. Oculus Rift has been in development and in trials for years. It will be on the market. Microsoft, Sony, a number of companies are coming out with affordable VR headsets. And now it's a question of what can you do with them? Everything from police training, so you could send them into a hostile environment, and with the goggles on, they could act like they're running around. To real estate agents, if you wanted to show a home, you could virtually walk through the home without actually having to go to the home if you were remote and moving and you couldn't actually get to the place. So there are a lot of different applications, and much of that is coming up now. We did see yesterday, though, there is a gadget for your gadget, a company that is making a camera for the front of your VR goggles. So if you're using them, you can press a button and all of a sudden in your VR goggles get an image of what's in front of you so you don't walk off a cliff or get hit by a car or hit a wall, that you can see where you are and what you're doing by hitting this button and getting almost like a TV screen in front of your eyes of what is actually right in front of your eyes. And then if you know you're safe, you can click the button and go back to what you were doing.
It's kind of scary what the future holds, but we've all decided here you have the best assignment, news assignment of the week. How is it covering as a reporter CES? I mean, it just must be like a kid in a candy store, aren't you?
Oh, it's awesome. It's overwhelming, though, because it is 170,000 people, and this year they're trying to get it just under 170,000. Last year was over, and people complained it was just too much. Yeah, there were too many people. There were lines everywhere. You couldn't get anywhere. It's three convention centers. You've got the Vegas Convention Center, which is massive, plus the Sands Convention Center and the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, and all of those convention centers, each individually, is bigger than what most cities have. That it's so huge that you really can't see everything, and there are over 20,000 new products being unveiled. So, you know, it seems like everybody says, hey, you know, I heard about this one thing, go check it out, and you go, I don't even know how I'm going to find that thing. I mean, you know, you kind of find what you find as you are roaming the hall. Unless you have meetings set up, you just kind of see what you see, and you still miss a big portion of it. This thing only runs for 3 days. It opens today, runs through Friday. And, you know, a lot of folks who come here, they're specifically into one thing, and they go to that section. You go to the health and fitness section, or you go to the wearable section or the drone section. But to be looking at everything, there's just so much, but it is so awesome.
That's ABC News correspondent Alex Stone, who's out at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. A big show that, again, as he mentioned, goes through Friday.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:53. Good morning again, everybody. Star Wars has officially become the highest-grossing domestic movie ever. Move over, Avatar. In just 20 days in theater, Star Wars The Force Awakens has unseated the James Cameron movie as the number one North American movie of all time. The numbers on that, 760.5 million lifetime gross. That was Avatar. As of Tuesday, Star Wars had recorded just over 758 0.2 million and was expected to cross that threshold overnight. So as soon as we see the box office numbers this morning, you can bet that it was over that threshold that Avatar had set. Star Wars will open in China on January 9th, and so that will give the film another significant boost. Some analysts are predicting the film might not net out in the mid $2 billion range. The Canadian company that proposed the Keystone XL oil pipeline has filed a lawsuit over the U.S. government's rejection of the project and says its plans also may include a second legal challenge. TransCanada on Wednesday filed a federal lawsuit in Houston alleging that the president, President Obama, his decision in November to kill the pipeline exceeded his power under the U.S. Constitution. Overseas, a market recap for you last night. All of the Asian markets lower. The Hang Seng off 648. They actually had to shut down trading in China overnight. The Dow futures this hour, the Dow off 348. The S&P off 42, suggesting a lower open on Wall Street. This is The Opening Bell on WGN.
Let me say Happy New Year to Governor Rauner. It's ridiculous you don't have a budget. When are you sitting down again, and when are the grown-ups going to actually get something done?
The Speaker said it finally publicly. His real goal is to get the income tax back up to 5%. I will not raise the taxes on the people of Illinois if we're not changing the structure so we can get real value for taxpayers.
Steve says what you're thinking.
The idea that the fifth largest state in the nation can't get together to do a budget is embarrassing. This is ridiculous.
Steve Cochran, mornings on 720 WGN.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-805-6151 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-805-6151. That's 800-805-6151. Again, 800-805-6151.
Country Financial and the Suburban Tribune would like to congratulate Natalie Ungaretti of Oak Park River Forest High School for being this month's winner of the High School Athlete of the Month for the Near West Zone. Natalie's a freshman swimmer at Oak Park River Forest High School and deserves to be recognized for her performance. The freshman phenom has impacted the Huskies roster as an elite sprint freestyler and has helped them enjoy one of their best seasons in decades. Congratulations, Natalie. She will receive a commemorative plaque and her school will be awarded $250 presented by Country Financial. Show your school spirit. Make sure your high school is represented for the High School Athlete of the Month. Visit chicagotribune.com/athletes. Find your school and zone and then vote. That's chicagotribune.com/athletes. It's the High School Athlete of the Month presented by the Suburban Tribune and Country Financial. For all your insurance and financial service needs, contact a Country Financial rep near you.
The opening bell on WGN. Thank you all for being with us again for our another show. We've got another one in the bag, and we appreciate you being with us. And I feel like I should sing.
You sound like you just survived a dentist appointment. Relax, you're doing great.
Well, but I had to, you know.
No, you're doing great. Here's what I want you to say.
All right.
Thanks for listening to another opening bell. We can't wait to get back tomorrow. Now, thanks for listening to our opening bell. Thank God we made it. There's a distinct difference between the two. You did fine,
But I feel like this is the point of the show where I need to sing the Carol Burnett. I'm so glad we had this time.
Tug on your ear, will you?
Yeah. There we go.
Hey, you were talking about 1871. Yeah. Have you spent any time with Howard Tolman?
I have not, and as a matter of fact, I've been begging to go over there and just kind of watch and be the.
Oh, he'll show you around. He'll happily show you around. He is. Thank God he's on our side because he is so smart. As a mad scientist, he could destroy all of us.
Luckily, he's not in North Korea.
That clown.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of time that was spent yesterday, everybody flapping their gums on here's a guy, Kim Jong-un, who is firing rockets into a lake 10 feet from his palace because he couldn't figure out how to fire him any further. And suddenly he's figured out the hydrogen bomb? Come on.
And photoshopping himself onto boats, doing
stop
all kinds.
It.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
It is. But still, look at all the problems he caused yesterday. It's still sort of causing ripple effects today. People still are a little jittery today.
The greatest danger to America remains Donald Trump. That was me, not Steve, by the way. Do you guys have plans set for tomorrow other than a better promo for your own show? You don't. Here's why.
No, I do. Okay, go ahead.
Well, here's why. Because the business changes all day.
It does.
That's why you got Bertrand on at noon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're keeping on it. So by 5 a.m. tomorrow, it could be a completely different looking scenario.
It could be. But one promise that I will make you is that if you're a commuter in Chicago, if you take Metra or CTA, I'll tell you something tomorrow that's going to save you maybe $2,000 this year.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. How about that?
That's great. My kid will love that.
Yeah.